honestly, if I'm not a celebrity, but if I was a celebrity and someone came to me with some promotion that I didn't really believe in, I don't know if I would take that.
Yeah, you don't want to endorse that. You don't want to endorse that at all, right?
I mean, I say that now, having no endorsements coming to
me. That's true.
But then once they come to me and they're like, hey, we'll give you $1 million just to tweet this out.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
You never know. Listen, Pornhub, can I approach you and say, hey, can you tweet this out, this message? You never know.
You know, but I totally, that's something that I'm like, all right, I can okay that. It's something I don't believe in.
Hey there. Welcome to the Gluten-Free Organic Thoughts Podcast, where you are encouraged to express your natural thoughts and views through casual, meaningful conversations that hopefully can lead to learning and understanding new perspectives. To find out more info, visit www.gfothoughts.com. Now, here are your hosts, Michael Wong and Robert Din. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another great episode of Organic.
We forgot the name of our own show. Holy shit.
Later that same evening.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another great episode of Gluten Free Organic Thought Podcast. My name is Michael Wong, and always with me, Robert Din.
Hey, welcome back. Welcome back, everyone. I heard you say hello, everybody, like you're a radio voice.
I gotta maintain that radio voice the whole time. You know?
Hello, everybody. We're coming back to you.
Live from the studio. All right. So today's episode is going to be very influential. And one of the things that we're going to discuss today is how powerful that can be. So before we get started, though, what are you drinking, Robert?
I am drinking some wine. I got some old vine Zinfandels here.
Nice.
Scotto Family Cellars wine.
You just open it?
This one I've had on the podcast before. So like all of these wines, I can get like one glass at a time. They're all like still corked.
Got it.
So like I just get one glass at a time. I've had this before, but
nice. How many bottles of wine you have left in your shelf? That's yours.
So I have maybe 20, and then I just have a case that got delivered. So I have.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Maybe 40.
Pretty much a year supply left.
Plus, I have friends who send me wine to just store for them. So then I think I have 4 boxes there. That's 8 more bottles that are not mine. And then there's 4 in the fridge that are his as well. So you know 12 that are not mine.
You know, when you move, they're going to have to take those wine back.
Or I just drink them myself.
There we go.
That's what you get. It's sunk cost for you.
There you go. All right. So this episode.
What are you drinking?
Oh, that's right. My drink is, I'm drinking this something called golden milk, which is made of turmeric, honey, and oat milk. And it's pretty tasty. It's good for your digestion. One of the things is that it's very soothing, especially when you drink it in the evening.
So. Okay.
Yeah, it's relaxing. It's something relaxing. You drink it warm or even hot, to be honest.
You like the warm drinks. I don't like the warm drinks.
Well, people can make it cold, though. So what they do is they pre-make it and then put it in the fridge for the next day. And then,
I bought one of these. It's called like a ultra chiller or something. So what it is there's a multiple cups in there, right? So you have, there's an inside cup where you put it, pour water in there. And then you screw it in. Then there's an outside cup where you just screw it in. That's where all your liquid's going to go in. And then the outside cup where you pour more water in, screw it in, put it in the freezer, it freezes. So then when you pour in the liquid, it goes in there and chills it from both sides, from the inside and the outside.
Because of the tubes, it goes around.
Yeah, the way the cups are working. And then all you do is stir it for like 30 seconds and it comes out ice cold. So I love that thing. I bought one and I've used it all the time.
Thermodynamics for you, you know?
Because I make Vietnamese coffee at home.
Yeah.
And it's all like.
You hate hot Vietnamese coffee. I love hot Vietnamese coffee though.
No, it's like always hot. Iced. Always,
yeah. I like it when it's hot, nice and hot.
Yeah. I don't like anything hot, really. I don't think I have. I think only like green tea is the only thing I drink hot. Yeah.
All right, so let's jump into the episode today. So today this topic was more about when it comes down to influencers, and because we've seen some good stuff with it, you know, influencers promoting good stuff and bad stuff as well, or sometimes reckless stuff that they're not immediately aware of, right?
Mm-hmm.
So and one of the questions is, I guess we're trying to answer today, is that should the influencer be somehow either regulated or monitored or something, be held accountable for their promotion, I guess.
Yeah. Should they be held accountable for what they say? Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's really where it comes down
to.
And if so, how?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what do you think, Mike?
So my stance is they should be, but from a moral standpoint, not just only from a financial standpoint, right?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like if you have the power to influence, let's say, 10,000 people, and you know that you can, you know, scam somebody, you shouldn't be doing it. The morality behind that, right? You shouldn't be doing it in general. Like especially if you're getting paid for something and you're not exposing that you've been sponsored that by somebody, that's just scamming somebody.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that if you're getting paid for it, you definitely need to be telling people you're getting paid. I also, like, honestly, if I'm not a celebrity, but if I was a celebrity and someone came to me with some promotion that I didn't really believe in, I don't know if I would take that.
Yeah, you don't want to endorse that. You don't want to endorse that at all, right?
I mean, I say that now, having no endorsements coming to
me. That's true.
But then once they come to me and they're like, hey, we'll give you $1 million just to tweet this out.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
Listen, Pornhub can approach you and say, hey, can you tweet this out, this message? You never know.
You know, but I totally, that's something that I'm like, all right, I can okay that. It's something that I don't believe in. Like the Raycon headphones or whatever, the ear pods. They're called Raycon, but every YouTuber has somehow promoted this thing because their budget for everything is just like put it all onto YouTube, and like all the YouTubers get these ear pods and then promote them. And I've seen people, I don't know if they're amazing.
Yeah.
They can't possibly be that good because they're not on any list of best headphones.
Got it.
Right? But even like celebrities that are doing tech reviews will also be promoting them
in their plug in it.
They're plugging it. But I don't think any of them use that as their daily like
headphones. Well, listen, Raycon, if you are you want us to promote it, let us know, you know? We'll listen to it.
I say all of that, but if you guys want to promote us, you know, like we're gonna
all joking aside though, okay. So the question is that, like, you know, if you do somehow figure out a way to monitor them or help them accountable, right? What is the fine line, right? Because at the end of the day, there is something genuine about it. Sometimes you just don't know, and you talked about something because you end up liking this amazing, you know, lipsticks, right? Mm-hmm. But then it may not have worked for some of the people that they follow. But it doesn't mean that, hey, you were trying to promote it. You're just sharing your true natural self that you like the product, right?
Yeah.
So, and then what's the difference between crossing that fine line and the freedom of speech?
Yeah, that's right. It's all part of it too. Yeah, for sure. I think that's, there's always like going to be those people that are like, oh, I just promoted it because I promoted it. Like, because I used it, so I liked it. I had no idea it would have some bad repercussions, right?
Yeah.
And so that's really the question is like intent, and I think that's the hard part to regulate. If you're gonna like try to regulate this, how do you identify intent?
That's true, and then the evidence to support that on top of that too.
Yeah, and you need evidence to support it. It's a difficult conversation to have, especially like where even the people who clearly are doing it for self promotion are obviously going to say that this was not their intent, right?
Yeah.
So you're going to get both sides saying the same thing, and it's hard to identify which one's real, which one's not.
I mean, I guess at the end of the day, then, you think having an influencer police or influencer auditor would be a good idea?
In theory, it's a good idea, but...
But it's not applicable, you're saying?
Yeah, practically, it's practically impossible to like be able to identify it. Yeah.
And I think it comes down to is, can a human being just be decent? Because if you take the money factor out, I think they could be. But I think when you plug the money factor in, it's just, you know, I feel like people, a human being loses compassion to each other. And like, especially when you get to this power, right? You have this tremendous power. You have a million followers. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh my God, you know, I have this much power. How do you get them to stay moral to their own conscience, to what they, how they got there today in the first place, right? It's mm-hmm. tough.
Yeah. And money talks, right? So like,
money talks, yeah.
They might not believe it or anything, but like I said, someone pays you $1 million to tweet something out. Like something so easy as to tweet something out. Like who's gonna say no to it? Even though you have like some moral obligation to the people who are listening, to who are following you. I don't know. Like,
so then how do you talk? I guess, because now let's talk about a little bit more extreme, right? You know, you obviously, you have your celebrity status, who has a million followers and more. And whether they're celebrity or not, for example, Elon Musk is, you know, it's the CEO of Tesla and SpaceX, right? Clearly, when he tweeted about Dogecoin, he had some, you know, right?
Yeah.
And obviously, like, it skyrocketed, you know, just because. And there's no utility behind that. That's kind of a little bit of a market manipulation to a certain degree, but he didn't say that he sold it. See, like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I think. I've been 100% against Elon Musk like tweeting about Dogecoin and tweeting about Tesla. Like, I was just against him, just like him, like he knows his influence, and then he is just like taking advantage of it to like raise or lower the price of whatever he's trying to do. Right?
It's a smart thing, don't get me wrong, but it's not the right thing.
Yeah, I guess it's smart. It's just. It's morally wrong.
It's morally wrong. Because
there's going to be a lot of people who lose money on what you're.
Who's
going to
get hurt behind that? 100% yeah. agree. Because there's a lot of people who believe what he does, and mm-hmm. so, listen, he made enough have you know, got involved in cryptocurrency. Besides that, you know, yes, recently, just this past 2 years, but I feel like people follow him because what he has done in the past is so successful. Anything to touch it turns into gold.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right, people can get hurt behind
it. Yeah, I think that's definitely has happened. Like Dogecoin has dropped a lot since the peaks, right? So people buying at the top when he was tweeting about it have lost a lot of money on there. So it's, yeah.
But do you think that's, now, what percentage do you think that's his fault versus somebody being stupid? Like, you know, like, is buying without doing any research.
Like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Like,
you know what I'm talking about? I'm sorry. Like, but there's some people investing without doing research. That's their own fault. I'm sorry.
I get it. But, yeah. Like, he should know his own influence, right?
Because,
like, he can tweet out to, I don't know how many followers he has, and then a million people go and buy it.
Yeah.
It's going to, even if a million people did their research and bought it, it's going to go up.
That's
right,
true.
If you're buying, it's gonna go up. So, just that. But like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if you can say that that like everyone buying is a dumb investor.
No, but I get it again. But I feel like if you're investing in something and someone mentioned about it, you follow them, right? I get that you have. It's more persuasive to do that, right? But you still have to do your own due diligence. That you should do your own. Research whether this is the right move for you.
Yeah, but everyone's research is different, and everyone's research is not going to be the same. So then, one person, it doesn't matter if they're lazy or not. Like, I think their influence is going to affect the market no matter what.
That's true.
So, them just tweeting it out, whether people do research or not, they should do their research. But not everyone's going to do it, and that. Manipulation by itself is already immoral.
Yeah, but on top of that, though, there's also part of it is like, with that intent, right? Let's just say Elon Musk was very transparent about it. I say, hey, I hold 2 million Dogecoin. The reason why I hold 2 million Dogecoin, he believes in it, whatever it is. Let's just say that he did it just like that. Then now, is he crossing the line of telling people what he believes in?
I mean, he should know what he says is going to do, right?
Yeah.
And he needs to be transparent about what he's doing.
That's true.
Because he also should be like, yeah, I bought this much of Dogecoin. Like, I have this much. I'm tweeting that it's going to be great.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's, it's got to be pretty transparent about what he's doing.
Like, listen, I follow a few influencers, you know, a few celebrities, I guess, that I admire towards too, in a sense, right? Or I believe what he does, in a sense, you know, just because the reputation that he perceived, right? And so I don't invest what they say half of the time, because by the time they say it, it's already too late.
Yeah, but you're just, also a savvy investor, right? Like, you're someone who does other investments outside of that. There's people who, like, they'll listen to their taxi driver and go and buy stocks that their taxi driver says. And by the time it gets to that guy, it's a bad buy, right? So it's not like, and those type of investors, they might not even have the knowledge or, like, the understanding to do the research that is needed. So I don't think that, like, yeah, it is on the person, but the person who's promoting needs to also have that.
So you're saying it's more like 70% accountability on the influencer, 30% accountability ish on the person?
No, it's probably more on the person, but it's still like your influence has done a lot.
So you're saying 40% on the influencer, 60% on the person who actually tried to invest or try to follow?
Probably closer to that. Yeah.
Okay. All
right. Yeah, but I don't put the percentage that the influencer is doing as small, right?
Okay, of course. It's not saying that 1%. I understand.
No, it's not 1%. Because, like, you can move markets, right? Like, you can really move markets. And then we're just talking about, like, Elon Musk talking about how good Dogecoin is. When he said, when he tweeted that Tesla's not taking Bitcoin anymore because of, like, stupid solar reasons, like energy reasons, right?
Correct, yeah.
The market tanked, and that killed lost a lot of money.
There was a flash sale that one day. I remember that.
Yeah, that lost a lot of people, and it didn't recover for a while. Right,
it took 7 days. Yeah, it took 7 days.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I mean, and let's just say imaginary. You know, we have some way to do police influencer, I mean, having police influencer or auditors, right? What are the so pro and cons about it? Let's just say, you know, pros, I feel like people would be more careful of what they're going to promote. I feel like better quality of promotion would be better as well. It would be probably less rug pull type of deal action.
If they could promote it, there would be less rug pulls.
Yeah.
Less of these manipulations. But
yeah,
you're also like, there's
look at
that
the console.
There's that fine line where you don't know if you're just like, if you're policing someone who had no idea, right? And actually was not trying to do anything
malicious. They were genuine. Yeah, I see that.
Yeah. So you have those people that you might also get hurt, right?
Yeah. Well, it's also like the freedom of speech. So that's a huge amendment that they're going to be, it's a huge con against, because it's fighting against that.
Yeah. You can't just say whatever.
Yeah. But let's say that you wanted to tell the truth.
Everyone has their own truth. So you don't know whose truth is real. It's just everyone has their own truth. And so I guess you can talk with your own truth, but I don't know. I feel like people should talk their own truth to themselves.
Yeah. I feel like everyone's entitled to do whatever they want, to a certain degree, obviously, right? That doesn't hurt people. But especially, like, you know, they can film the videos, whatever they want. They want to speak whatever truth, put a video on YouTube. Sure, do that. I feel like there has to be a sense of responsibility and morality when you have that much power to influence 10,000 people, or, you know, 1,000 people, whatever it is. Because, you know, like, it's just like, you know, it's a responsibility, because now you have a power, you know?
Yeah, but now when you start policing it, then you get to like you were saying, the freedom of speech, where like people might actually believe it. Like all the fake news that happened in the last election, right? Like that came from people who actually believed what they were saying. And then they were making articles, they were making videos, they just kept on.
Well, and this is where politicians, they know that influence people, they should be even more be more accountable. let's not even talk about celebrities. Just talk about politicians, right?
Mm-hmm.
Politicians, because they're the face of, to represent people. I feel like because you're empowered to just to represent people, that's a clear title,
mm-hmm.
right? They should be accountable for what they say, no matter what. I'm sorry. You go into that realm, you know what you're getting yourself into. I think there should be some kind of police and auditor at what they say and what they stand for and what they do.
I agree with that, right? And it's not just like, it's neither, both sides are guilty of this, right?
Correct.
So you get like people like Trump who are just basically tell lies about everything. And then you have people like AOC who's like, takes what's happening and then stretches the truth to the point where it just like
it's crazy.
It pulls on extreme. Your heartstrings, right? Like they're really trying to get like somewhat like a reaction.
In order to play they try to play the emotion part.
Right.
And that's 100%.
And it's all like what you're saying is not exactly true, but it's based on truth. So like, and all the politicians do it just to like pull on people's emotions, and it's just wrong. Like it just feels wrong.
I mean, anything for a vote, right?
Anything for a vote, I guess. Yeah. It's just,
I mean, I just feel like they should listen to Peter Parker. You know, with great power comes great responsibility. No, was that?
I think
was that grandpa?
I think that was I think that was his uncle.
His uncle said that. Yeah, his uncle.
Uncle
said
Ben.
That.
Yeah, I don't uncle think that ben. Was Peter.
Great. Yeah, great powers come with great responsibility. So.
Yeah. It's true.
If everybody lives like that, you know, especially the people who have that much power to influence others, you know.
Yeah, but you don't get that, and people are affected by money, and they really like money will pull them in different ways than what they were thinking.
No, 100%, 100% agree. And sometimes though, like some people can talk the talk, but doesn't necessarily mean. You know, they're actually walking, you know, what they don't actually practice what they preach sometimes.
Yeah.
And it's kind of hard that this tells behind the scene because sometimes everything is just in front of the camera in front of them, right? Mm-hmm. They can say whatever they want, but behind the scene, they could be doing other things. So it's very hard to kind of notice that in a sense. So.
Yeah. Do as I say, not as I do.
Yeah.
That's how it is.
Yeah. All right. Well, so it sounds like we're both in agreement. Like we kind of want something, but we can't know how it can be done. And then what is the fine line behind that, right? We don't want to cross the line.
It's like impossible. Yeah. It's just impossible to regulate. As much regulation as we want it to happen, there's no way to actually regulate it.
But if there were something to regulate, politicians would be the start. I feel like those people, because you're going to power, you know, you are representing people. I feel like those should be the high priority, the target.
Yeah, but it's also the people that are making all the rules, and they're not going to make rules against themselves.
Of course, yeah.
Like no one's gonna make a rule that's gonna affect themselves. So the last people that are gonna make a rule for.
But I mean, unless you have true, more, you know, integrity, moral, you know, they know that.
Yeah, but you gotta get like, what is it? 50 people in the Senate and 100
You gotta get the votes.
You gotta get like 200 people to like be on board for this, and people to vote for those 200 people. Yeah, I think it's gonna be impossible.
So let's talk about from a corporation standpoint. Do you think that they should be controlled like that? Because we've seen a version of this, but a little bit extreme with China, right? China kind of controls, like they don't want to be talked bad about. Even celebrities there, they're getting punished, right? They get fined for that stuff. And even companies like Alibaba trying to set them straight, Didi, you know, they're just like just little things like that. Like they're trying to show them, hey, you should be accountable for certain things. You do not mock whatever, you know, your own country in a sense. Like, they're holding them accountable.
Yeah, they're...
but I'm not saying they should be trying
to. I think it's they take it way farther than anyone over in the U.S. would allow.
Yeah.
Because if they say anything bad about the country, then they're automatically on a list. And, like, we don't see the CEO of... What's the guy? The CEO of...
Jack Ma.
We don't see him... at all outside because he said just a little thing that's wrong about the government.
Well, it's part of it because also United States won't even want to try to do this because they don't even want to have that kind of image to represent themselves.
Yeah, and America is so staunch on freedom of speech. Like there's no way that they'll let that happen. Both sides do the freedom of speech pull, right? So that's one thing that they both agree on. It's just the different. It's like what they're saying is different. What they want to be free to different. Speak of is different. That's the only thing. But they both want freedom of speech.
Yeah, and it's to a point that is frustrating each side because they're so stubborn about it.
Yeah. It's like one side, we don't want you to talk about this, but the other side's like, oh, we want to talk about this, and you're stopping our freedom of speech, and they both have their own thing.
Yeah. It's crazy, though. All right, well, to wrap this episode up, we're going to jump into our extra funny energy session. All right, so Robert, what do you have for us today?
Oh, today I have, let me see where my links are. I sent this because we've been talking about finding new jobs and stuff.
Right.
So I saw this image and it just says the name of the article is just fingers crossed. And it's like an app job application and they're like desired pay. And they wrote $400 an hour.
I hope that's his hourly wage.
I don't think I've ever applied to a job where if I have to write it in myself, that it's a high-paying job. But this is my desired pay. It's $400 an hour. That sounds like the pay that I would want. It's probably not the pay that I'm going to get.
I write a range of, like, let's say, you know, $100 versus $500 an hour or something like that. Something stupid, you know, like a wide range.
Wait, what'd you say? 100 to 500?
Yeah, I just write a wide range. That's what I do.
But what if they go to the bottom of that range?
Sure, I'm okay with that because
it's already super high. So you would go like 400 to 900, and if they pay 400, you're like, all right, I guess you lowballed me. Damn.
Yeah. That sucks. Wink, wink, wink. All right, my funny thing is this random freaking video that I keep watching over and over again, which makes no sense at all. So pretty much. If you are not watching on YouTube, is this this video titled "This Guy Is Lit"? And so, what happens is that this car pulls over to a side of a curve. A guy in the backseat jumps out, lights up a bottle with something flaming on to light it up, and throws it out. But then he catches himself on fire, jumps back into the backseat. Meanwhile, there's a guy in the front seat who throws a tire out and then pours alcohol out into this tire. And it tried to jump back as a car to try to take off.
Oh, my God. All right. Oh, my God. This is a lot to take in, right? Yeah. All right. So they're pulling up. One guy. All right. We're talking about the guy in the backseat. He jumps out. Yeah. He's throwing a Molotov cocktail, but he catches himself on fire.
He jumps back into the car on top of that. While being on fire.
Oh, my God. And then the second guy. All right. We're going to go back. The second guy. Somehow he has a tire inside and he's got it out. And then he just pours alcohol inside the inside of the tire. He doesn't do anything with it. He doesn't let it on fire or anything. He just pours alcohol.
It makes sense. He forgot to light up the fire. That's probably what happened.
No, he's probably like, "Hey buddy, you're on fire. Your back's on fire. You're supposed to light this too. Light the tire with your back. That's what you're supposed to do."
I guess so.
Before you jump in the car. Yeah.
So anyway, this car tried to get away and barely successfully gets away, you know, because he almost forgot somebody in the front seat.
What the hell is this place that they're
I love this I love this comment. It says three different plans perfectly executed. Task failed successfully. Oh my God.
That is true. I just don't know what did this place do that they wanted to throw this Molotov cocktail?
I don't know. Cool. It's probably a security camera that caught this though.
Yeah, but like, what is this company? Or like, whose house is this that they're doing this at? It's nuts. I can't believe he caught himself on fire with the Molotov cocktail.
It's crazy. I know, right?
Is this in the U.S.? You think this is in the U.S.?
No, probably. Look at the type of car. Like, that's driving around, though.
The car that they came in on is... It could be U.S. car.
I meant like around the street. Like, the cars, like the traffic. I don't think so. I think it looks like more of like, actually.
Yeah, I think these look like American cars though.
Yeah, it could be, I guess.
This is nuts. I can't believe this.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. But anyway, all right. So we're going to conclude this episode with our venting ranch, free range venting.
Yeah. Oh, you want me to go first? Okay, so my rant is today we had a meeting with our business partners at work, and basically this past month was horrible. Like our team, we have six people on our team, and everybody is working their ass off for like 2 weeks straight trying to get all the data for our business partners. And so then we had a retro on what happened, because like it was just a shit show. Like our systems didn't work, our data wasn't right, like everything just didn't work right this month. There's multiple people that were out sick, and they're just like, so we had a retro, and they were basically like saying, if all you have to do is like get all of this stuff automated, and we wouldn't have any problems. Like we could just have all of this stuff. And we're just sitting there like,
just do it.
We had like six people, and everyone's working their ass off, and like nobody, like people are sick and they're still working, right? People in and out of the hospital, and they're still having to work, right? It's like, where are we supposed to like have the time to do all of this that you're trying to get us to do? It made all of us really upset that we're just like, man, this is, this sucks. Like we already are like working so hard. It's not like it's not like we don't want this stuff to get done, right? Like if this was all automated, we would love it too, right? Just give it, like, we don't have time to do it. We don't have resources to put into it.
Otherwise, we'd have done it by now, you know?
Yeah, otherwise it would have been done. We would have, all right. Like, it's not like that would help us too. It would help us a lot.
I know, right?
Yeah. It was just annoying. It was like, man, like, it just felt like we had a meeting just to shoot blame at us. And we're like, what the hell? Oh man, that's the work life, I guess.
No, it's one of those things. It's like I'm like, you know what we're doing, right?
We're on the same side, right?
We're on the same side, you know. But you know, we just need a little bit of help first, you know. my rant is also kind of work related. So it was my last day at work, and I had 9 meetings in a row, and everybody just wanted to talk to me, I guess, you know. literally my calendar was full. I was like, I couldn't believe it.
Like, on your last day, you have a day full of meetings. That's crazy. Yeah. Last day.
So there was a meeting that a guy missed, and he was asking for a solution, and we gave him a solution. I'm like, you know, we're like, hey, you know, you can default this value, but this is what you have to tell your people, your suppliers. That will affect about 100 to 600, whatever number it is, okay? Because the number wasn't that significant, because he had about 60,000 suppliers to worry about. It only affected like 600, a chunk of that. If even.
Oh, it's like 1%.
Yeah, not even 1%. And and then the email says, oh, this solution is not practical. My apologies for missing this meeting. I'm like, well, first of all, you weren't there. Second of all, this is the only solution there is. Third of all, who says this isn't practical besides you? You know, so I asked support team with a ticket that says, you know, hey, is there any other way around to do this? They're like, nah, you got to default the specific value. It's only one value, and you'll be fine. Mm-hmm. And so the funny thing is that he replies back to an email where this email could have been a conversation, saying that, you know, hey, this isn't practical, right? I replied back. I'm like, hey. I'm like, this is impracticable to who? You? ?
You sent us an email? Like, that's
sent us an email. I didn't give a crap at this point, because
I mean, it's your last day. So okay. Yeah.
So I'm like, hey, this is a solution. And by the way, I'm gonna make you owner this ticket, because this is your issue. I'm gonna make you owner this ticket. And then there's no other way around this, just so you know. You can go ahead, good luck, ask support again, you know? And I said, good luck.
Was that the last thing you said to him?
That's the last thing I said to him. I said, good luck, yeah.
Over email.
Yeah. This guy always fights stuff like this to do. There's one thing I'm not going to miss about.
Is this guy?
Is this one?
What's
guy?
His name? You want to?
No, I don't want to.
You want to flame him?
That's okay. It's not worth the effort, okay, to promote him. All right?
Yeah.
I don't want to make him famous.
I freaking hate Smith. He's freaking the worst.
But anyway, that was my rant. When I saw this and I sent this to another colleague of mine who worked with him in the past, And she was like, LOL. And she literally said, this is something I'm sure you're not going to miss. I'm like, yeah.
I know. Oh my God. Why do you have so many meetings on your last day?
Mainly because they knew I was leaving, so they wanted a little bit more knowledge, question transfer, things like that. Mm. And then they
It
was actual work. A lot of them were actually.
Why are you doing actual work on your last day?
Because my replacement, I mean, he was just catching up still. I mean, I've been training my replacement for 2 weeks already, but he was still catching up. So yeah.
Wow, that's just gonna be bad for them. Like if you're still doing work on your last day.
Well, I left them in a very good spot. I wrote a list of what they need to do in the next 2 months.
I mean, but
still. No. I literally wrote a list of what they need to do in the next 2 months.
Yeah, but if you're doing work, right, on the last day, that means that they haven't taken over that work yet. Right? Yeah. So it leaves them in a spot like it doesn't matter to you, right? But for them, like they shouldn't be letting you work. They should be pulling that work from you so that you're not doing it and that they have someone who's actually practically done it, right? So that's on them.
But the guy who's replacing me has more experience than I do. So he knows his shit. I'm not too worried about that. It's just catching up to stuff. That's all it is.
I see.
Yeah, yeah. The guy who's replacing me has twice more experience than I do. So
he's way better than you. That's why they brought him.
100% for sure. Yeah. That's why I told the client, you know what? You're going to be way better off.
All right. Yeah. That's why they're okay with letting you go. They're just like, you know, we got better guys that are working here. Right? Is that how it is?
that's how it is, you know? Yeah. All right. All right. Anyway, that concludes our episode for today. So if you are watching us on YouTube, please leave a comment. Let us know what you think about influential power. You know, should you be audited? So you should be controlled or not? Or we're just talking crap for, you know, reason and they should be left alone. So whatever it is, let us know how you feel.
Yeah. And give us some examples too of what you've seen. Yeah.
And if you're influencers, let us know how you think about that, you know?
Yeah.
We're not there yet. We'll let you know once we get there, but still.
Yeah. Let us know what we need to be ready for when we get some. They're all going to be like, you know what? You need to stop talking trash because once you're famous, you're going to take all of these, all of these promotions. And then we're gonna have to delete this episode. And then
all right. Meanwhile, please subscribe, hit that like button down below, please. And if you're watching us, sorry, you're listening to us on Apple or Google Podcast, make sure you subscribe and make sure you like the audio.
Yeah, so. And if you want to watch any of our other episodes, you can go to our website, www.gfothoughts.com.
Yep. Until next time, take it easy.
Peace. All right. See you guys. Peace.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of the Gluten-Free Organic Thoughts Podcast. If you are watching us on YouTube, please don't forget to subscribe to our channel, like this episode, and leave us a comment. And as always, you can find us on social media at Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at GFOT Thoughts. Until next time, see you then.